Normally, I would have come more prepared for something like this.
No, we're just going to learn, though.
Okay, I've said it.
A little class. Fun.
That's good.
Do I introduce myself now?
Yes, it's Shmuley. Everyone knows who Shmuley is.
Okay.
What we want to do is, not this, what we want to do is something like this. So we've been studying the ethics of Maimonides, known as the Shmuley Prokim. Let's see, I don't even know what I'm trying to open here. And, I know what, this. And did we have the word Midas yet in it?
Briefly.
Not really, right?
Midas as virtues.
Yeah, there's something interesting, and this is where I want to get to it. It's not in awe, so something like, let's say something like this. And the Shmuley Prokim, the Rambam gives, goes, so there's, did we discuss how these different two different framings? Yeah, there's two different framings for a concept of virtue in the Rambam. One framing is the framing of Shmuley Prokim, which is that a person has a soul, and he has to have the perfection of this soul in order to become a prophet, which is the most perfect human being. And one big part is what Rambam calls here in Malice and Midas, right? Malice and Midas are what Aristotle calls character virtues, as distinct from intellectual virtues, which belong to the soul. Now, this word midas is a word that is in the translation here. It's a translation that Rambam himself agrees with. I'll show you how I know. But it's a translation that's a kind of weird translation. It's a question where we got it, right? Why did we have this word? Because midas just means measures. There is a good reason for it, according to Platonism at least. But I don't know if according to also according to Aristotelianism, because virtues are all a measure, right?
It's an art of the amount of something.
Right, there's something to do with measure. So that's the Aristotelian reason why it could make sense. But still, okay, so the framing here, and we have to contrast that with the framing in Al-Ghazdais. The framing here is that the reason you have to have good midas is to be a complete person, and that's going to lead you to have intellectual virtues and so on. The same Rambam in his book called Mishneh Torah has a different framing, right? He says, right, and unlike the way we discussed this, unlike in Shmuley Prokim where he starts with the definition of the soul and the part of the soul, he just starts with the fact, and this is where we are supposedly in our Shir and Perek Dalet. He starts in Perek Dalet, sort of. He starts with the fact that there's a different, he called them deis here. It's interesting, he doesn't use the word midas in Chazdeis. He does say, it's interesting, you'll see where the word midas is, and it's, I think this is actually important. We did this in my last year in Borough Park, I don't know if we did this in some places in Lakewood, how there is still in view of virtues is not, is something that encompasses a lot more than what we would think of as something like feelings or things that move us, feelings or passions, right? Passions are not virtues. Virtues are the measure of how to act relative to passions and relative to many other things. And that's why the word daya in the Rambam, people get confused about this. So I'm just going to make a philological point first, right? And so in Hilchas, here we talk about middas, people having different middas. In Hilchas Dayas, it's called Hilchas Dayas, right? Talks about dayas. And the Rambam famously is trying to speak in Lashon Mishnah, right? In Lashon, the language of the Chachamim. Not in the language of the Mikra, because he thinks that language is not complete enough, but he does try to speak in Mishnah Mishnah, which means that when the Rambam calls his dais, he thinks that in the Lashon Mishnah, what he's calling dais is, here, right? What he's calling dais is what they would call it. He didn't make up this word. So dais in the Mishnah doesn't mean an opinion. Sometimes can mean an opinion, but here it doesn't mean an opinion. What it means is something like a passion, right? And he says some people have different, and this is probably based on language like Kashem Shaydei, everyone knows the statement, Kashem Shaydei, and that does not mean their opinions. We see the Gemara talks about, Kashem Shaydei is b'machel, kach dei is b'noshem. People like different foods and different women. It's not about an opinion, it's about a like, right? A passion, a kind of passion, a kind of tav. And so that's what he talks about when he says deis harv. And then the word midah, if you look in the Perek Aleph and Achaz Deis, you see that when he starts talking about midah, he says the only time it says the word midah is it says the extremes of each are not good. And in derech toiva, by the way, that's an important word, derech, we'll see in a second, they're not a good way. But the good way is, a derech hayeshara, the correct way, the straight path, he midah ba'enness, is the middle measure. So here we get the word midah. So midah is the measure, right? The correct measure of the day, right? Dayas are like the matter, the thing that middas are made out of. But midda is having the daya in the correct measure. That's what a midda is. So it's different from a daya, and that's the difference. It's not two words for the same thing. These are two words for two parts of the story. Okay, now, but the important thing we're noticing to get here is, so therefore, the Rambam does call about having people having daya benonis, but what it means is daya measured by a midda benonis, right? Because benoni and extreme, all these things are measurements, right? Okay, so now in the Rambam in Sefer Mishneh Torah is based on mitzvahs, so he doesn't start with the completion of the soul, he starts with this being a mitzvah, right? So in the end here in Halacha Ches, it says, hey, whatever, the numbers here are wrong. It says, mitzvah manu leches b'drochim eile ha-bananim, v'heim ha-drochim ha-toivas v'yishurim. There's a mitzvah to go in these in moderate paths, and these are also the moderate ways, and as it says, v'alach t'v'drochav, and Chazal taught that this means, ma, just like he is chanan, you'll be chanan, ma rachim afu chanan, rachim, ma nikre rachim, that's a different problem, and so on, okay? So that's the difference in the framings between these two places, which is that
which is less out of place there than it would be here. That
meaning?
That pasuk used as a comparison.
Which was it?
Meaning, ma'urachim afata, because it would be weird to ascribe it to a midah as much as a daya, right? Dayas are something that are, midah is a good
the opposite,
measure
it would
of something
be weird
people,
to ascribe
right?
it to a daya. In other words, that's what I want to get to, and I want to learn the about this. It would be weird to ascribe deis to God more than it would be weird to ascribe midas, because midas is the correct behavior.
Yeah, but for people.
And we'll
figure
out. So
a day in some sense is easier to abstract because it's not calibrated towards some aim.
The opposite,
right?
Yeah, but the opposite. God acts. God has actions, and his activities make sense, so they have an order and an aim. In that sense, he has midas, which are
passions.
Patterns
okay.
of ways he acts. He does not have passions. He's not influenced by
okay,
anything.
Right. Okay.
But and actually, it makes more sense to talk about God having midas than talk about God having dais, I think. Although midas, as a person has, are implemented in the kind of hardware that people have. And God doesn't have that kind of hardware. But they're still midas. Where am I? Mir Nevechim.
Nidgum amidus are more like
Wait. Okay. In any case, the Rambam, so in Hilchos Dayos, so there's one thing added and one thing missing in each part, right? In Shmoneh Prokim we have the addition of the perfection of the soul, which is by having complete correct midas, right? That's something that there is in Hilchos Dayos that is inside in Shmoneh Prokim, which we do not get in Mishneh Torah. Mishneh doesn't seem to talk about at all about the perfection of the human being. Maybe until you get to Hilchos Teshuvah, where he sort of talks in that language. But at least in Hilchos Dayos, it's just, there's a mitzvah to have the correct mitzvah. That's all. It doesn't tell you, like, why this should be such a mitzvah. God wants you, something like that. There's a mitzvah. You don't ask questions on why there's a mitzvah, right? Mitzvahs are just laws. So he makes it into a law. While in Hilchos Shmoneh Prokim, he doesn't talk about the mitzvah at all. It's actually interesting. I even think it's a question why, and then in the entire Shmoneh Prokim, there isn't a discussion of the mitzvah of having a good mitzvah. He just talks about it as a philosophical thing. Yeah. Then he quotes Chachamim saying things like that, but that he doesn't at all quote this mitzvah of Valach Tebedrochav, which he interprets in Mishneh Torah as being exactly the mitzvah of having the correct mitzvah. Okay, so that's something that is added in Mishneh Torah. In other words, both the difference, let's say, the big difference is that Mishneh Torah is organized as mitzvahs, and this is philosophical, organized as perfection of the soul. And that somewhat causes us, both of these sides, to have one thing added. In Mishneh Torah, he adds the concept of it being a mitzvah, and therefore also being, and the mitzvah works by being God's ways, right? Remember, v'alacht b'drachav mahu nikra rachem af ato yerachem, and that's a theological aspect of having good midas, which is entirely lacking in Shmoneh Prokim. Doesn't talk at all about, maybe he does, I'm wrong, Perek Dalet talks about it. Does he talk anything about this in Perek Dalet? Does he say anything about it at all? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think he talks at all about the mitzvah. He talks in Perek Hay, he gives Chol Masechel Shel Shamayim. He doesn't talk at all about the mitzvah of Alach Tebedrochav. In other words, he doesn't give a theological understanding of this whole thing at all. There might be something going on in that. Right? He doesn't even get to this question, right? There's, of course, in Hilchos Dayos, you get into a question. What does it mean to talk about God as having midas and so on? And if we add the word nikra, it doesn't say that God has them. It says he's called, said to have them, or something like that. Baruch and Shemayna Prakmi doesn't have that whole thing. On the other hand, in Shemayna Prakmi, we get the concept of perfection of the soul, which we do not get in Mishnah Torah at all. Someone could read the whole Mishnah Torah and not know about the concept, I think. Could you? Maybe. Awesome. So that's the story, the difference. Now, aren't he just bringing some derech, the Samer Chosav, he has a different word, but it doesn't bring the mitzvah at all. Does he? I don't think so. No. Okay, so now, in order to talk about something that I want to talk about for the Shoshana and Aseret Shiva, we have to do this. First thing is I want to show you something interesting in Hilchos Shofar. Where's my Hilchos? Not Hilchos Shofar, Hilchos Shiva, right? You'll see something interesting here. I want to show you something. Where is it? Is it opening up? No. No, this is just plain Hilchos Shiva. Okay, we can sort here and then we'll find somewhere where I found all the sources that show this. So, a very famous plain Hilchos Shiva in Perek Gimel, it says like this. Okay. Yeah? He has this long tradition for Tkiyas Shofar. It says, Tkiyas Shofar is exercise akasif, but there's a remez, and the remez is like this. Long tradition. You should wake up, and v'chapsev masaychem, this is a language from Echa, of course, nachapsev derchenu, so on. And then it says, like this, okay, so you're asleep. I have, in some place I wrote, made this nicer, but it's something like, you have to stop it here, right? Like, you're asleep, wake up, remember God, that's one thing. Then there's you're asleep, you're doing things. This is interesting. It seems to divide like this. Wake up, you're asleep. Do tshuva, which means zichre berachem. Okay, this is all languages that he took from Sukkim, but it's interesting that he thought that this was the first. This is waking up. Now, you people who are forgetting the truth in the, I don't know, what's havei hazman?
Vanity.
Vanities of time, I don't know. And the ears or something like that, and the and the nothings of time, and wasting your sleep with nothing. Actually, you're doing, this is talking about activity, right? Until now, you were just talking about something in your mind. Waking up, which means like come to consciousness, right? And see that you're not remembering something, the truth. And then he talks about the fact that you're doing things, and this is all languages from Sukkim, but you're doing things that don't have any te'eles, which means they don't actually accomplish anything. Right? And therefore, what you should do is, so this is talking about something practical, more practical, I think, the second half. And what you should do is like this. How are you going to find this out? So before, there was a thing, Zichru Barachem, and now there's something else. What should you do? This is your description, right? So this is your situation. Therefore, what should you do? Look at your souls. This is interesting, right? And I have a rule that the Rambam always starts off with traditional language and jumps to philosophical language. So it's, for example, chapsu maseichem v'chizr v'tshuva means something like, you're doing an avaida, stop doing it. Remember, God doesn't let. I think it means more than that, but at least also that. When then he says something else, he says, look at your soul, make your ways and your malalechem. I don't know what that is. make your ways better and leave your bad ways and your bad machshavos. So, what this has to mean is something to do with the Hilchos Shmoneh Perekim, right? Abitl Nafshecha, Perek Aleph and Perek Beis. Think about what your soul is for. And therefore change your ways, make your ways better. He doesn't say anything about your activities anymore, about your actions. It's all about making your ways better, right?
No chippus ma'asim.
He started off with that, but he didn't end with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It says make your ways better. And we know what ways are. Ways are drachim ala tov vayesheres. Ways, and I'll show you even more clearly. Ways is literally a synonym for midas. This is the Rambam thinks that. And what he's saying here is
for midas or deis?
Midas. No, not deis. Deis in the sense that we just said, not passions. Ways are measures or habits. Mm-hmm. Maybe habits is the best translation for ways. Because instance, someone has it's his way, right? As opposed to what he does. I mean, that's his habit. He does that all the time, right? And that's basically a midah. Right? The midah is the measure of that, but what it turns into is a habit, is a way. The word midah doesn't appear here, but the word days, ways, when you remember that this is interesting because remember that in the Rambam there's these three languages, right? There's the language of the Tanakh, Lashon Nikra, there's the language of Chachamim, Lashon Mishnah, and there's the language of the philosophers, right? Lashon Rambam. And Rambam tries to write his book in the language of the Mishnah. Says this explicitly in the beginning of Sefer HaMitzvahs. But sometimes he's quoting a pasuk, or so he has to be using the language of the pasukim, and sometimes he has both, things like that. So, for example, Yazif Kulech Mechem Darki Yerob Machshav Tashletoiv is very clearly a pasuk, right? The Rama quotes the pasuk in the Cheshuva Perek Beis. No, it's the pasuk from the left, right?
Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly that, right? And he's just giving an interpretation of it, or explaining what that means. I don't know where he got the language from. I don't know. I'll have to think about that. Ativa Dakechem Alechem is literally telling you to do that. Now, the Rambam thinks that what's called in the Torah, a derech, is called in Chazal Amidah. How do I know that? So I know that's from here. This is, no, not the wrong chapter. I'll show
you. Is derech Yochabah?
No, no. Well, he has later in Shmoneh Perekim we had languages Samer Chosav, right? Even Chazal Tash the Rambam interpreted as making your midas better. But here it says very clearly, and this is in the middle. Well, we really have to learn this whole thing. But in the middle of chapter 54 in Chelek Aleph in Vayel Vechem, it says that Moshe wanted to know Darkei Hashem, right? The Eninos the Rochecha veDa'acha. And Rambam says, well, I should find the normal thing without before the Mefarshim. It says, here. Adrochim, right? So here. V'hareya, his ba'ir, the ta'aripil. Rambam was interested in proving that these are ta'aripil. In any case, what he says is, Moshe asked for drachecho. And these are ta'aripil, ways in which God acts with human beings. We'll see. So the Rambam translates, says that Chachom say 13 midas, which is based on this parashah. They're translating drachim as midas. This is a very great source for the Rambam for showing that, and he brings a source and he says that they talk about that way on midas v'odom, arba midas v'nes netzedok, arba midas v'elchim b'esem edrash. Is it Harbe? I don't know how many more places there are. I think those are the main places. We have to look in the Rambam in Perashah Mishnayos, in that Perek, what he says about it. But you see here that the Rambam understood, this is just to follow the language, because we shouldn't get lost. The Rambam understood that what's called in the Torah Derechim is called in Chazal Midos. Right? Because the Moshe says at the end of the Rechecha, which means your activities, how you act with people. And Chazal called the Shlosh Esrei Midos. That's in, and he proves from this Pesach Tzavos Perikai, right? Chamish Midos. I want to see if the Rambam makes any note here. It doesn't. doesn't say anything. Arba Midos. Arba Midos. Oh, it even says, and he says that this is a source for Darius also, right? It says in the Mishnah, and then maybe just for us to talk about the four, we talked a second ago about Midas and Darius. And the Mishnah says first Arba Midas Ba'odam Shlish Ali, and so on. Then it says Arba Midas Ba'Darius, and it talks about Kas. So the Rambam understood that Darius means passions. The previous one is not really some more general behavior. Darius means passions. And then there's four Midas in those passions. And Midas means the measure of how people are used to acting relative to those passions. It doesn't say, this person doesn't
quote. Meaning, Nayachlichos is the Deya, which is a
Midah. No, the Kas is a Deya. Right, Nayachlichos is a Midah of a Deya.
Yeah, I'm saying Nayachlichos is the measure of Deya that becomes Midah.
Exactly.
Like good Midah Teva.
Or Kashalichos, all these things, right? Kas or Ritzoy, Kas would be a Deya. That's what the Mishnah says. Arba midos bedeis, and the being a noyach lichos, whatever, kosher lichos is a midah bedeis. Exactly, it's a measure of that day. It makes a lot of sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the same thing. Arba midos bedeis. Look, arba midos bedeis, arba midos bedat, arba midos bechel besamedrash. Okay. Arba midos lifnei chachamim. So that's the Rambam's source, but here he has another source. That Chazal have this language of shloish esre midos of Hashem, which is the answer to the question at the end of Drachecha, at least as the Rambam reads it. So therefore, Drachim are Midos. And we can understand, if you want to be exact, it would say something like Drachim are habits, Midos are measures, Deis are passions, and what we call virtues, or character virtues, specifically are habits of measures of a passion, or measures that lead to a correct habit relative to a passion. You see that these three things are not exactly the same thing. Sometimes we say one thing, well, we mean the whole story, but there are really three aspects of one
it's
me
that's a day that brings you to Derech Nechayna, than that.
Something like that. You could always question, is the main point having the Derech Nechayna, or is the main point the Midah? The Rambam thinks that both are important, because you're never going to act correctly if you don't have the Midah, and you need to love it. So if you do it out of without having the Midah, you're just forcing yourself, and that's not, then you don't have a good soul, and so on. So all these things together are needed. So that's the point of the word midos and the word dais. Very interesting. And the word drachim, these three words. So now we know that these three words are codes. Drachim specifically, drachim and midos, according to Ram, mean the same thing. Like we just said, we could make some kind of differentiation between them, but they mean the same thing. Therefore, when the Ram says ativu drakechem, it's not some kind, and he likes this language. If you look in Lachas Tshuva, this is very interesting. This is Lachas Tshuva, right? We could just do a search of the word derech. Or derech, not, how about... Does it do the same? If you'll see that the Rambam likes it very much, this word derech. First he talks about, and the Perek Bez, in the very famous Maya Tshuva, it says, Ve'yazav echoy techete, v'yisirenu machshavte, v'yigme b'libesh le'aseoich, nema yazav reshadankoy. You remember that this is something that people are very upset about, because the Rambam has this yodel v'deh talimus here, and so on. And what does it mean, v'yisirenu machshavte at all? But if you read Dilchus Shmei Replukim, you know what it sort of means, to stop liking it, right? And he calls this darkei. This is not about doing, right? The Rambam also has the concept of darkei atshuva, which is interesting. This is not the same exact thing as the derech that we're talking about, but he has the concept of there being a difference between tshuva itself and darkei atshuva, which we should read in light of this, something like habits that cause you to do tshuva, right? Like slichas, and so on. Then he has, let's see, what else we have for derech. Darkam Shal Yisrael, which is another way of saying Midas Yisrael. This is this one that we had here. Darkatzibah is not relevant. Darkei Atshuva also. What's Darkei Atshuva? Not the same thing as Tshuva, right? The other interesting thing, and this was by Albert Tal's share 2 weeks ago, and he made me notice this.
The virtues of Tshuva, like they have their own.
There are intermediate not virtues. Not virtues. There are habits that cause it to do Tshuva. Like the Rambam would tell you, because this is to answer the question of like, what is the Seretz Mitzvah doing? What is the Seretz Mitzvah doing? It's a derech of tshuva. It's not tshuva itself. Tshuva itself is becoming a better person. But if you get into the habit of going to shul once a year and talking about how much you sinned, you might get into the habit of becoming better slowly. So these are sort of aitzas, right? These are tricks or techniques to get into tshuva. It's not exactly the same. It matches with the translation of habits, which, remember that midas are caused by habits, and then they cause habits. So they have both ways, but yeah.
And what it culminates in is, at the end of the day, returning to the baseline of correct midas.
Yeah. but you will, they are, the way to become, to have a correct midah is to do the derech, right? So there's a derech before and after. Right? And it's a cycle, it's a self-perpetuating cycle, like mitzvah gives mitzvah. Something that Halbata made me notice, and wasn't, I didn't notice so clearly before, is that Hilchas Teshuvah is divided to these two parts. In the beginning, there's really three parts, but the first two chapters, and maybe the first four chapters, if you want to count that one, talk about tshuva in a more simple sense, although even very ready. So he has the Azad HaShadarki and so on. And then from Perikei, he starts talking about Bechira, and then he says, because of the after the tshuva. And you'll notice that when the Ram talks about Bechira, this is also true. And
but it's just because Adin Asunala is kind of restarting the whole...
Right, it restarts the whole thing. And we're not learning this right now, so it's interesting that this Perik is the most closely... So we said before that in Hilchas and Sefer HaMada, there's this different language of mitzvahs, and of course there's here the mitzvah of tshuva, which is the first four chapters. And then in the fifth chapter, he sort of moves away from talking about the mitzvah of tshuva and starts talking about the principles that he deems to be connected with the concept of tshuva, which is a little different than the mitzvah of tshuva, right? Sort of like giving the background theory for it. And that's the place where he also gives the most of a... copy-paste from Shmoneh Perakim. So Perak Ches and Vav is more or less a copy from Shmoneh Perakim Perak Ches. So this is where he gets into the theoretical, and he doesn't go all the way out and give you the first half of Shmoneh Perakim, which talk about the soul, but he does give this part of this person being in control of himself. And the interesting thing is, and this is, I think, very important to notice, that the Rambam, when he talks about Bechira, talks about Bechira and Drachim, not Bechira and Masim. This is also true for Shmoneh Perakim. It says in the Sheskel Adin Sinaloi, it doesn't say, if you want to do a mitzvah, you do a mitzvah. If you don't do an aveir, do an aveir. I think that's obvious. Nobody ever questioned that. You could, unless you're a determinist. But the Rambam is not really against determinism here. What he's against is something more, slightly more subtle. What he says is, in Ratzah Hatit Atzma Lederech Toiva, Harashas Biyadai. From Ratzah Atzma Lederech Rav, Elias Rosh, Harashas Biyadai. So you notice that he doesn't talk about the permission of a person to do actions. That's maybe simple.
It's more concerned with whether or not we can think.
With?
At least improve our thinking.
Not only thinking, habits. We're changing the kind of things that you like, right? What we call virtues or characters. This is the important thing, because this is also what astrologers, which he's talking about when he says, what these people are saying, and it's not true that those people, he says literally that most people think that God makes people tzaddik or rasha. I don't think most people think that God makes people do activities, but most people think that God gives people predetermined habits. Or predetermined likes and dislikes. And the Rambam says that's not true. Or it's less true than you think. Of course, it's somewhat true, but it's less true than you think. And it says the same thing. You have this thing called Natias Derech. This is again Yaz of Rosh Hadarka. You could push yourself to a different habit by what he calls in Shmoneh Perakim, what does he call it? Refuah Nefesh, right? This is the healing of the soul, which is the ways of which to move yourself from one derech to the next. This is very different from actions. Actions are much simpler.
And it's also a way towards them.
Yeah, it's both caused by action and a way towards correct action, but it doesn't consist only of correct action. It consists of something deeper, something more connected to what you are.
Yeah, and even like the idea of correcting an action without a method is also, I think, something that...
actions have meanings and stories. And things like that. Yeah, that's true. And he brings the pasuk Nach Psadrachainu. Remember that when he said V'chipsu B'masaychem, the pasuk doesn't say V'chipsu B'masaychem, the pasuk says V'chipsu Drachaychem. And obviously Rambam was trying to say, look what you're doing, and notice that it comes from a derech, and then change your derech. So this is important. Derech Menadroch Mativu Drachaychem. He has a lot of this language. Gam him barcharu b'darkeichem, he brings a pasuk. A lot of this language of your way being the derech, the habit, being what the real essence of tshuva is, should be about. And we already showed this last time how in Perek Zayin, which is the conclusion where he brings this back to tshuva, he says, Hel v'shis kled m'sin aloy, you should do tshuva, and then he says, tshuva is not only from Avedas Shem Ben Maaseh, but also from Midas. And like I said, this is slightly an understatement. It's obviously an understatement because really this is the main thing that tshuva is according to what we just studied. Ram can't go on and say it in Hilchas Tshuva because Hilchas Tshuva is still based on the concept of there being mitzvahs and tshuva is from doing Avedas. But I'm pretty sure that Perek Zayin Hilchos Gimel is really what he really wants from the whole Hilchas Tshuva. And he explicitly does say explicitly that these are more important. And he brings the same pasuk, Yad Vrashadake, which he brought to define the Ikra Tshuva and Perek Beis. Right?
Yeah, and he makes it also a result, not just with the Kashem. He says, Kashem that you're doing it for you have to correct your actions, you have to be Mechapis, which is like a non-symmetrical, which at least might seem like it's a non-symmetrical comparison.
Why?
Right, because it's just like you should Lashem Me'edu to not do the Averu Shish B'masa, right? Kachu Tzorech L'chapis B'deis, meaning not towards some other end, because then you'll do the actions necessarily.
No, he makes them into
he brings it to the same equivalence.
Yeah, it's a mitzvah. You could say, because he said in Hilchos Deis, that it's a mitzvah to have the correct measure of kaas and so on. But he doesn't actually say that here. He just says that these are worse, and it's interesting, and if you'll remember, and you read this simply, you think, okay, it's harder, yeah, thank you very much. It's harder, so therefore what? Why is it kushim? It's harder to change, but it's less of an avera. No, remember that it's kushim different, this is the definition of a midah. What a midah, having a bad midah is, that I like this, it's hard for me to change. And the whole drush of perek hay, with how you having bechira, saying that you could change, even though it might be, it's hard. He's sort of admitting that it's hard, but that's the whole point. You train yourself to become better, to have better habits. That's important. That's the story here. And where else does he talk about derech? Yeah, that's the... Okay, then there's we have to think about that. That's different language. Okay.
With Darkei Emes.
Yeah, there's Darkei Emes and Darkei Hashem. So that's the next move. Now we have to try to go to the next thing. What time is it? We have to try to go to the next thing, which is to think. So is this clear enough?
Yeah.
What did we clarify? That
the deis are the passions of which midah is their amount.
Their amount, and the derech is the habit, which is
the result of the midah.
The result, or what leads to the midah, both.
Or what leads to it, right?
And what it consists of an action, and therefore that we went back to the language of Perek Gimel, where it says that you should back to this language where it says about the shofar, and we showed this thing, how there's these two reasonings in the two different books for why you should have good midas, and the Hilchos Teshuva itself is somewhat divided between these two things, and the Remez of the shofar is also seems to be divided into two things, where he talks about chipsev maseichem, and then he talks about hativ derkeichem, and that starts, that part I think starts with habitul nafshe seichem, which is literally the logic of Shmoneh Prokem, which is that the perfection of the soul is by having good drachem. I think that that's a very good understanding of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we don't have here, and I wonder how the Rambam doesn't have an explicit thing of this, and was asked, and were discussed also here and in the other class in Woodmere, what would be the explanation of Slicha according to all of this? If Shiva is just having get better habits, what does this talk about God being Saleach and things like that? And I think that in order to at least prepare ourselves for thinking about that question in this way, we have to think about this theological aspect of drachim, which is this concept of alachta bedrachav. I think that that's what gets us close to talking about God doing something. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
We'll discuss that in Shmoneh Prokem. So let's just say something like, first we'll say something like this, right? First, we have to talk about something like this. And what is the stage Shmoneh Prokem about this? First, because Shmoneh Prokem is the place where we have the philosophical account of things, right? And then we can connect it to a more theological.
What does it say about Slicha? Or?
Well, yeah, what does it say about theology? What does it say about God, right? Because until now we're talking about what the Platonists later called social virtue or political virtue, which is not really something that gets you to God, right? And very interesting, if you listen to my classes with Antonio, you see that Plotinus has this beautiful article called On Virtues, and one of his, I think the second or second, like discourse, and this is a big book. And it starts with this question that Plato says that it's not enough to have virtue, you also have to be like God. And he tries to explain in what sense, which virtues are like God, and which God, his language, and so on. That's really the question that we're trying to get at here. Now, the Rambam has one language about this here, right? What it says in Hilchos, and I want to show you something important. What it says in Hilchos Shmoneh Prokem is like this. And maybe that will get us to understand what it means to talk about God having midas. Of course, that's a sort of the other side problem. In Shmoneh Prokem, we discussed that this is when you have shmalas and midas, right? You end up getting something called prophecy. Now, prophecy has something to do with God, right? Okay. So we understand something. Then the most explicit place, and this, we talk about this same parsha, is in the end of It's weird that the context here is something different, but here, right? And maybe that's why when I read this, we never did this in this class, but when I read this, I wondered what's going on here, and you'll see, right? Perek Zayin, and the Rambam says like this, that there's a concept called mechitza, language of Chazal, language of Melish, that there's mechitza. And mechitza means that there's different levels of prophecy, different, and the language that Chazal have is that different prophets see God behind different, more curtains, so to speak, more panes of glass, however you want to describe, more mirrors, as Peklari is a mirror, or some kind of transparent material through which you see, right? And then he explains that what are these veils, what are these mechitzas? These mechitzas are the middos of a person, both the intellectual virtues and the character virtues. These are literally the things through which you see God, and that's what it means. And again, you notice that he's not talking, the Rambam translates the word avonis to bad middos. Because what bothers you, and this is very important, because this whole Hilchos Teshuva and Hilchos Matshuva is based on the closeness to God, right? Which the next pasuk is Yazav Resh Adark, right? And then the Rambam's language in Perek Zayin, but Teshuva is close to God and so on. And here he explains you that what makes you far from God is not God, that's what it says. That's the pasuk before here is saying it's not me, it's your avonis. And avonis, the Rambam translates as meaning hainaro, is the bad midas, having bad character traits. And therefore he says that a Novi has to have all the good character traits and intellectual character traits. Now, of course, and then he goes on to say
he needs the good political or
both political
as a prerequisite and,
So this is a big question. The Rambam doesn't entirely resolve, but he does seem to say here, he says, obviously the intellectual virtues you could understand, since prophecy at least has something to do with intellectual apprehension, or at least it's a preparation, or it's the consist of it, then we understand. But he says that also it's also true for malice and midas. He does say that we don't have to have all of them. He gets into the long thing that not all prophets were perfectly virtuous in the literal sense, in the political, social sense, or at least not always, and so on. But he does think that you have to have that. He doesn't really explain why in this, but he does say that that's part of the. It's something that he assumes all the time.
As a means, yes. Like as a means of not affecting the midas of sechel.
So very good. This is the question that Plotinus over there talks about, and more, I think in a much better, clearer way than we get here. But from the Rambam, what we get is that there is at least some sense in which you need to first have political virtue. Of course, there's different like, literal explanations for this, and through that, he calls it a mechitza here, right? And that this is the image here that he uses, is that through that you will see God correctly. Sort of, if you're a very angry person, your vision of God will be tainted by your anger. That seems to be the way he wants you to look at it.
You'll be tainted by anger of midas sichlius or anger of midas...
No, by anger. By the loving of anger.
Okay.
It's not clear how this would work. He doesn't actually explain very good how this would work. We have to really try to interpret because he doesn't give you a clear. He says this. This is for sure what he says. Someone has two or three midas built in mitzvahs. We say that he sees God from behind three veils. In other words, your caste and your atzvos and your thing are the things between you and God. He literally says that these kind of bad character traits are something that divides between you and God. How this exactly is the mechanism for it, it doesn't tell you here. And you have to think about how it would be. It's a serious question. It doesn't explain. But he says it. He for sure says it. There might be some complicated causality of how this is. At least for some things it's obvious because your biases don't let you see the truth. In that sense, it's simple.
Right, but that's in a way, that's because it's impacting the midas sichlius.
Yes, okay, what's the problem with that? Midas sichlius are where you actually meet God. But in order to that, you have to be unbiased, at least in some way. There might be more to it, but that's
simple. Why would that, how it has to be, right, okay. Something in the object of thinking, right? Like it's talking about the content of your thought
and the subject of thinking and the person that's thinking.
Yeah, right. But meaning this is the mechitzas, right? If it's a mechitza, let's say of kas, right?
Mm-hmm.
It means the kas is somehow affecting the thought, not the thinker, besides
not the thoughts, though. Not the thoughts. The thoughts. They remember that the there's no changing the think and the thoughts. It's changing the person apprehending
the. See, the clarity of the thought or whatever. The,
yeah, God doesn't change, but your understanding of God changes. And if you have too much gas, you will not have a clear enough understanding. Why not is the question. There's a sort of an admission in this chapter that
I'm saying, is that because it affects the midas sichlius, or is it because it affects what the midas sichlius, or depends on what you're trying to know?
It for sure affects the results. How? I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It affects your knowledge.
Saying the only thing I'm curious, is it in a way that bypasses midas midas sichlius, or does it?
What is midas sichlius?
No, but this is the intellectual virtues.
No, those are two different things. I don't think
the midas sichlius are 100% intact, but this somehow affects the quality.
Intellectual virtues, in the sense of purely intellectual virtues, like having a good memory or things like that, have nothing to do with this. Those are different. The Rambam actually says here that those are more important. You can't skip those.
If you have the intellectual virtues.
Yeah.
That's right?
He seems to say here, and he explicitly, that it's more. You could have more prophecy by being a bad with bad character trait than with bad mind. Or what's called intellectual virtues, because those are more necessary. Like you said, they're closer. You can't understand God if you have a dumb power of understanding is lacking. But if your power of anger is wrong, you will be hindered in some way, but not as much.
Mm-hmm.
He does say that implicitly here. So that's So it's not that one will affect the next, and which will affect the third thing. It's more like that will somehow. Either you can say someone who has. Like the simple
isn't overcoming. Okay, overcoming bias is malas sichlius, right? When you say like latia b'derech emes or something,
right? So this is why that's what I said. That I was talking about purely intellectual virtues.
So is it mediated by malas sichlius?
But that's no. All virtues we discussed. This is what we talk about when we talk about the different levels of intellect. All virtue have some aspect of them being intellectual because they need judgment. For Nisa's practical judgment, at least. And that's why, in some sense, sometimes the Rambam himself says, we could sometimes say and talk about all virtues as the mind controlling the passions. Although they consist of more than that, because just that simply would mean something like...
Or the passions controlling the mind.
No, opposite. All virtues means passions being in the correct way, which means being controlled by the correct judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But that... that you can't reduce this to just self-control. That doesn't mean that everything reduces to self-control. There is something called virtue. But in that sense, but that when we talk about that, we're not talking about the same kind of thing that we talk about intellectual virtues per se. Intellectual virtues per se are things like having good memory, having a good grasp, things like that. Those are things that are not a totally different kind of thing. They might be connected, of course, because everything is connected in a human being, but they're different things. And when we're talking about not being able to be a good prophet, we're not saying you don't have a good judgment to judge who to kill. That's a political thing. I'm saying you're not being able to understand what God is. You'll see that these things seem to be connected, but this is a question for the Rambam and for Aristotle, for everything. There's a big question of how these things connect. I could tell you first what he says, and then we could think about how it actually works. What he for sure says and believes, and he says this all the time, he says this many times in different contexts, is that the character virtues affect how the second perfection. How is less... explained. And therefore he says, and this is important, therefore he says that, and that's why, when Moshe knew that he has no, that he already has all the Malis Hamidus, he wanted to know God himself. This is the Rambam's interpretation of Erenos Kvedecha. Then he gets into the explanation of what is Punim V'Ocher and so on. And I think that this has to be connected with what it talks about in Nevechim Perek and Dalet, which is what? The Rambam's interpretation of this story. Now remember that this story is, in Parshas Kisisa, a very complicated story. It talks about at least three or four different things. And we'll tell you some pointers of the story of the Lichas Shneas. Now the story of the Lichas Shneas is the story of Yom Kippur, which the Rambam thinks of also as the story of Rosh Hashanah. Because the Rambam Nevachim says in Chelek Gimel, Perek Mem Aleph, I think, that the Shoyf of Rosh Hashanah is really just the announcement of Aseret Mitzvah. So the Rambam sees everything going back to Yom Kippur. It isn't like Rosh Hashanah separate from Yom Kippur in the Rambam, in his meaning of the mitzvahs. And therefore, he explains that Yom Kippur is based on this story, because there's the tradition that was a Yom Kippur, right? Whatever exactly which part and how the chronology works doesn't matter. But this is
Rosh Hashanah is the tshuva's month. It's the tshuva first, right?
Rosh Hashanah is.
Is the tshuva to start tshuva?
It's the waking up to do tshuva first. There's no tshuva for because Yom Kippur. Because this is how we see that as one story. So this is really the story that it's based on. Now, this story, and I'm going to some things that it says in the story simply, and then we'll see, maybe try to see how the Rambam explains them. What is the story about, right? It's about getting the second luchos somehow, which are the second covenant, the second bris, if you look in Pashas, right? Kisisa, right?
Kisisa.
Right, so if you look here, you'll see the story. Which starts sort of here. That's where we start the story usually. He asks him something, and he asks him a bunch of things. In any case, there's a whole bunch of things, stuff going on, and there it seems confused and starts to make an order. The Rambam has some order where it's not clear if he needs to read it into the Pesach, how exactly he wants to read the order of the parasha. But there's a few things that I can see in the Pesach. One is this concept of getting the second luchas, which is the second bris, which is very explicit. Second thing is the question of God leading Yelech na Hashem b'kribayin. It's very interesting. There's the question, because Hashem says after the luchas, I will send a malach, right? Remember he says, Lech alayim is that, says Moshe, go take the Eden up to Eretz Yisrael, Canaan, v'shlacht lifnecha malach. Okay, the Rambam has a chapter on this malach, who the malach is. But any case, it says v'shlacht lifnecha malach. And then, they're very upset, and a big part of the story seems to be that Moshe is trying to get God to walk, to lead them, to walk within them, something like that, by himself, without the malach. The Gemara says, explains it this way, and this seems to be, you have to go yourself. Of course, this is why the question of what panah means. Okay, so that's a second very important thing. There's a discussion of who will lead them. Is it God himself, or is it some angel, some secondary thing? Then another thing is, and that's the two things that the Rambam doesn't talk about. The third thing is the question of forgiveness for, right? It says v'salachta l'avinayin, right? Forgiveness for the chata ego. It doesn't ever actually answer that over here. Not clear. What's going on with that? Maybe that's just making a new bris, so it means that he was salach. I don't know. Fourth thing is the question of the erenaz drachecha. Tell me your ways. And this seems to be very obviously connected to the question of God walking within them, God leading them himself. How are these things connected is a question. Fourth thing is the question of seeing God, right? And then it says, it keeps on going back and forth. But in any case, these are five things that are going on in the story. Now, the Rambam in Perek Nedalet reads it like this. It says that Moshe wanted to know two things, and he was answering on both of them. He wanted to know God himself, and he wanted to know the attributes of God. And God answered him that the answer to the first question that it's impossible, but there is something you can know, and told him what he can know more than anyone else. And that's not important for us right now. Second question is knowing his attributes, which are derechecha. And Rambam goes on and says that this includes many amazing things. So here we see that God is known by his attributes, which are his actions. And also means that ve'em tzachem ba'necha, and this is an important language for Yom Kippur, and so on. Ki moira mishamish yoda le'ahi ashi em tzachem ba'enef lo'y mishiyotzen v'ispal levad. Just praying and fasting doesn't make you closer to God, but knowing him, and closer and further means how clearly you know it, and then it says, this is not my subject. In any case, and then he says, when he asked him about this, and he somehow just says, ask for mechila and got it, doesn't explain how this is connected, says that he wants to know God himself, and then he says, you can't know it, blah, 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 blah. And then he goes back to the question of the Drachma Midas that we discussed, and he explains also what is Drachma Midas now, which I'm not going to be able to get into now. But in any case, what I have to think about a little bit over here is something simple, which is... this is the important thing that we have to say is, that the Rambam explains which Ta'arim did he know, right? Which there's more stuff about this, but in any case, which ones does he have to know? And he says like this: why does he have? What's the? So the Rambam explains that Ta'ari Hashem, the attributes of God, are all his activities, which is all of nature. So then, why we have only these 13 middos? Middos is just the ways in which he acts or his habits. And God doesn't have habits in his soul, but in any case, he acts in a way as if he would have had, and if it would have been a human being, he would have said he has these habits or these middos. But now the question is, why only 13? What are these 13? Isn't it everything? The whole Ma'aseh Bereshis is this, everything. And he says that these 13 are special because these are the ones, the activities, the actions that God does related to creating human beings and Hanagasam, and the leadership or the, I'll never know how to translate Hanaga, you have got it, of human beings. And this is what Moshe wanted to know, as he said, V'de'achar ha'eki amcha goyaze, t'loimar, asher nitzarech lanhigam v'p'olos, elech ben b'derech p'olosach v'anagasam. Moshe asked, his real question is a political question. This is, you know, a very interesting understanding. That there is knowledge of God per se as he is, that's one question, that's knowing all of nature. Maybe there's some sense of knowing God himself, get to that. Then there's something else, which is knowing God's activities. Now, which activities does Moshe need to know? Maybe he wants to know all of that just for intellectual perfection. But what he needs to know really is how God manages, deals with human beings. Why?
What the virtues of that are.
Right. Which we would, by a human being, it would be virtues.
Divine natures, that's in then, something like that.
Relative to God, they're not really virtues, but in any case, there's activities that somehow come from God and appear to us as virtues. And I need them so I can lead the people in your way, in the same way. And I think the drama means that this would mean to be led by God.
What, to know in which way to if act you're led towards by God a prophet, based on how God acts towards you?
To act, if Moshe would act toward the, would, yeah. Like if the manag amadin, kshinovi shinam by the Torah. If you're a real political leader, if you're a king who's also a philosopher, or also a prophet, even more than that, then you will be leading the people in the way that God leads them, which is another way of saying God will lead them. So this is obviously some kind of, like he says, this is some kind of closeness to God, because it's really just, if you understand that it's just part, it's maybe not all of God's, there's more God, more to God's control of the universe than this. Or God's wisdom in dealing with the universe. But there is at least part of it, which is how God, how nature created people, what human nature is, and what is the best way for humans to flourish. And that is, to know that is to know the Gilut Sharachman, is to know the ways in which God, and that's what closeness to God consists of. So here we see something like, there's a closeness to God, which is, again, the correct levels of prophecy.
It's also better, it also makes the analogy of Midas from Mishnah Torah a little bit more. Saying it makes it a little more clear.
Because
we're trying to figure out God's midah towards us, meaning to be subject to that midah, right? Be led by that midah.
It turns out something very funny, that God's midah towards us is Moshe's midah towards us. It's our midah towards our friends. It's the same thing. They're not different. But knowing them would be, maybe we could look in nature and see. And looking at nature, remember, according to Aristotle, nature has oughts, not only is, right? Nature is, if you look into human nature, if you look about human nature and you found that what is the best way for humans to flourish, that is another way of saying knowing God's activities within human nature. Because the nature isn't separate from God. And therefore, the knowing and the acting, all right, you see that here the knowing and acting come very close together. Because it's only the knowledge of a particular set, a particular subset of God's activities, which is the human nature. So, and some, I still don't have a full answer to this, but at some level, the knowledge of the specific activities pertaining to human nature and human politics and all of that is itself knowledge of God. The most of we can know about God, because we don't know God in His essence, we know in His activities. And that is also what allows you to be a correct leader, to be a, and there's some emphasis for leadership, some emphasis for regular people, okay, but that's what allows you to act, to behave correctly, right? It's really backwards, right? Before we were saying, that if you have the correct midas, then you will know God. Like I said, Moshe, after he knew that he has all the perfections of midas, then he asked for it in his kodacha. And here we see that it's the other way around. That it's knowing God's midas that leads you to knowing, to being able to act in them. See the problem? There's a paradox or some kind of circular thing. But of course, God's midas are themselves the way in which you act, which conforms to the best way of leading people.
That last thing one more time.
There isn't a way, when we say look at human nature, what is the best human nature? That means look at the best human leaders and look at the set of all humans and see which ones are succeeding at being humans the best. It doesn't mean, well, there's some sense of which nature, but there isn't the human nature. This is a very interesting, very funny thing, right? Where is God? So when we say that God acts with compassion, what does it mean God acts with compassion? Towards humans, okay? Towards cows is one thing. Towards humans, he acts with compassion. What does that mean?
There are people that act towards humans with compassion.
Yeah. It doesn't mean, can't mean more than that, because God doesn't act directly in anything. God always acts through intermediaries, unless you talk about miracles, which is not interesting. So to what extent do those humans act with compassion? Because it seems to them the correct, the best thing, right? Or at least, soon we'll see, maybe they don't even have to have compassion, they have to act in a way, that doesn't matter. Humans act in a way that is called compassion because they see that as the best way to lead human nature to a perfection. So, knowledge of God's actions towards humans is the same thing as knowledge of the best human activities. They're not different. There isn't like first God's examples and then us following it. And since that we discussed how this is in some sense practical knowledge, practical wisdom, right? Not theoretical wisdom, and it's in some sense even learned by action, right? You can't really learn it so much in the study hall. You have to go out and try to lead people and figure out how it works. But there isn't more. There isn't a separate knowledge of it. It's not like you have a knowledge of the best politics and then you go and do it. You can't get that kind of knowledge without looking at the activities. In other words, looking at what God does, which is, you could look at the good examples and the bad examples of it and figure out which to follow. So this seems to be an important thing. I want to talk about the question of compassion versus judgment, din and rachmim, and things like that. And slicha, of course, is something connected with rachmim, and the Rambam gets into this. And what we could say about this is, just to answer very quickly the question about what slicha would mean, what we could see about this is that if you're a human leader, and then he says, managa medinik shiyenavi, the political leader, if he would be a prophet, has to act like God. Now, the interesting thing is, and the Rambam said there's midas harachmim, and they're not really all midas harachmim, but at least most of them are midas harachmim. And what the Rambam learns from this is that a leader, and if anyone that has a position of leadership, other people should know this, there's always going to be more compassion in your leadership than judgment. And it's almost necessarily so, because creating anything is an act of sort of love or kindness or compassion. The limits to that are the judgment, right? Like, if you're going to not follow my command, if you're not going to do things, I'm going to have to punish you. But sometimes we pretend as if, like, the fact that things are going well when they're going well is also a judgment because you deserve it. But it's not really because you deserve it, because if you think of it one step before that, you'll say, nobody deserves anything if there's a real cause and effect. The effect never deserves the cause. There has to be from the cause. And that's how the Rambam explains this, what Chanan means. In any case, relative to God, everything is free. Everything is a gift, right? And the same thing relative to a true leader. Everything is a gift, because if the leader needs the people, he's a very bad leader. Leaders are the ones that don't need you. They're there to help you. So in that sense, and also when people do bad, now this is general where we start with the concept of compassion.
Meaning, and over here,
or of goodness.
Meaning the constructive limit of what's being given is judgment.
Yeah, but the constructive is always a lot more than the limit of it. The limit is what conforms. Yeah,
it's a constructive limit. It's what conforms it to.
There must be limits,
shape.
But it doesn't make sense to talk about everything at the limits. That would be a very weird framing of things, right? There's a goodness which is limited. Maybe it would be better to have unlimited goodness or whatever. But I think that when you think about this, you realize that the chesed or rachmim or things like that are the more basic reality in one sense. You can think about it like that. And they're always a lot more than the judgment. And if we're talking about, right, when we talk about slicha, right, now we're talking about it in a political sense, right? If you're a teacher or a leader of people or a king, most of what you're going to be doing to people is forgive them. And right now I'm talking before the person sinned even as Hashem couldn't sheikh. Before you sinned even, you're going to be giving them some, constructing, giving them some good, which is called tuvi, the Rambam explains, v'yaladim ketuv. You're giving them some good, which is a good thing. Of course, you're telling them, and not bad, thank you very much, but you're giving them some good. Right? Now, the problem with human beings is that they're very weak. They're always going to be fall short of complete of perfection. There isn't any human being. Of course, not in the beginning. We discussed this, how tshuva, according to this view, is the natural state of things. It's not like someone, remind me of a question that someone, one of my teachers like to ask. How could there be a mitzvah? How could there be a, exactly. Maybe that's not the theology. That's not the main framing here. It's not a product of the fall, right? It's the opposite, because Aristotle's human being starts small and grows bigger. He doesn't start big and fall. Of course, this is a Platonic view and so on and that. And we discussed, right, how tshuva is not like some of my teachers likes to ask, how could it be a mitzvah of tshuva? What kind of mitzvah is if you sin? Don't sin. Well, that's not the case, because the main tshuva according to the Rambam is tikkun ha-midos, in which sense, all human beings start bad. And therefore, if you're going to start with midos adin in the sense of like, I'm not moichel you for you being bad, that's dumb. The material you're working with is human matter, the ways humans are, and you're trying to make them better. So part of it is, in some sense, it's not forgiveness in the sense people sometimes read this as like a very judgy kind of thing, like
meaning it's an anti. Meaning there's no fall by which you need grace. There's
it's not. There's
no, an inherent part, right, of the
original, but there's some grace in it, just by the virtue of like, I'm not mad at you for being a baby, right? I'm trying to teach you. The Rambam thinks that the primary example of rachmim is parents bringing up children, right? I'm not mad at you for being a baby. I am trying to teach you to be mature, slowly, very slowly. But part of being a parent is forgiving the kid for being a stupid kid. And you could call this is the basic sense of forgiveness, which has to exist for anything to work. And some people, parents are confused about this, some political leaders are confused about this, some spiritual teachers are confused about this. But this is like basic. Slicha is an extremely rational thing, it's not a super rational thing. You can't begin if you assume that all humans start very small and grow bigger. And what your job as a cause, as a leader, as someone who gives them their good or manages, leads them toward their good, is to move them from that. You have to sort of forgive, call acceptance, right? Radical acceptance. You have to accept. It's a fact. They're starting off from a very low starting point. That's just how it is. And you could think about even when people should have known better in some sense, it's still because of their starting off from their matter and all the things that they have, all their conditions. And you still have to forgive it if you're trying to get them anywhere else, right? So possibly this grace of slicha is not for itself. It's in order for people to get better. But it has to be, like you have to say, well, you've messed up, but I still need you. You need to yourself. You still should be able to get to some perfection, and therefore you have to forgive what was going on. It's like a natural thing, this kind of forgiveness, and all of nature has it. Like nature has, the Rav Kook says things like there's natural tshuva, like, but and the immune system is the tshuva that exists in the body, right? And the nutritive soul, right? It's built in that there are things that go wrong, and we have stronger things that sort of say it's no problem. It's a problem, but we'll fix it. This is not like magic. There's no need for any magic in it. But it is need. What it is needed is it is a political thing. It's something that a wise leader does. One of the main jobs of a king is to give out pardons. In some sense, there's like this whole system of judgment, and then the king's job is to come and sometimes say that you're fine. And the big part of the logic of Yom Kippur and Hashanah is part of this, like we say. Like,
grace in the judgment.
Yeah, we say like there's a Ben Shamala, but God, you don't have to really listen to them, right? You can do whatever you want. But what does this mean? What this means is that the thing beyond that is like there has to be giving some goodness, some perfection. The whole point is that to give some perfection, there has to be limits. Okay, no problem. And sometimes those limits are delegated because the more basic meaning is the existence, not the non-existence, right? I think in this sense you could see how slicha is a very natural thing. It's something needed politically. Famously, our politics don't allow for it, which is why people don't get better through our politics, because they're all about like deciding if you're already good, which is so dumb. Even the Chassidish language, you see, there's this whole Chassidish language that says like tshuva is to reveal that your neshama was already good. No, not already good. The question is not what I was. There isn't like a static thing, me, that we have to decide to just deciding after. We're creating it. This is Chelas Masecha, right? We're creating a person. And we're creating it out of nothing. We're out of dust, out of what does it say over there? And we're creating it. And now we're going to get better. Of course, that means we're okay with you being Ofer Min Adama. We're not mad at it. Being mad would be very dumb. And even because you're from Adama, like that's what Hashem says. I know that level of Ram and Udav, you know what?
Setting the right expectation for the project.
Zachak Yafar Anachna, right? That's what it says. But there's an acceptance of that. It's not revealing that really this Ofer is really good. It's not really good. It can, there's a potential that it could be good. I think that's really what they're talking about when they say things like that. Even the Rambam, when he says you really want to be good, what he's saying is you don't want anything. You don't even know what you want. I think that's much more. Remember the Rambam in the Chassidish, right? What? No, in the Chassidish, where he says that Kofin has Hashem Roitzani, because theoretically, and everyone reads this as like, really, my soul. What it means really means, I think what it really means is you don't know what you want. You're part of the system. You're matter that we're forming, and we're telling you what to want. You're going to want it after you know, like, how would this work, right? You don't want things before and then do it. You first do it and then you want it. It's normal. There's nothing weird when someone says, I don't want to learn, I don't want to be better. Of course not, because you're not good yet. So try to put, in other words, you have to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself, right? You have to forgive this. You have to stop being stupid. Stop being mad. Start realizing how the world really works. Anyways, that's my Dirash Hashem. You could disagree with me. There's a lot more to talk about this whole concept of middos and how we see their nature, but I think this is very simple and makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yep.
You can turn off my computer. My whatever it is.
This one right here.